Divine providence is the name we give to God's eternal plan of salvation and his loving care both for the entire universe and for each one of us individually. And trusting in the providence of God, especially in the face of great hardship, is the common thread running through the readings today from the prophet Jeremiah, Psalm 69, and the Gospel of St. Matthew. Such trust in divine providence is impossible for us without the grace of God and the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love, which are poured into us at our baptism. These three divine gifts equip us both to trust in God's providence and to cooperate with his grace during the pilgrimage of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And our salvation by Christ is not a single event, so much as it is a process which begins with the grace of justification, deepens with the grace of sanctification, and reaches completion with the grace of glorification. Consider the betrayal of the prophet Jeremiah and his response. Jeremiah was chosen by God to announce his holy word to Israel at a time of profound infidelity and corruption, which led to the unimaginable horror of the conquest of Jerusalem, the destruction of Solomon's temple, the fall of the nation, and the captivity of the people. But the children of Israel, because of the hardness of their hearts, would not hear the word of God from Jeremiah. Indeed, the rulers of Jerusalem turned on the prophet as though he and not the Babylonians were their enemy. And instead of acknowledging their own sins as the cause of their downfall, the people blamed and punished Jeremiah for the calamity they faced. So Jeremiah said, "I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him." But despite all that grief and because of his faith, Jeremiah could still cry out with confidence in the providence of God, "But the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of his poor from the power of the wicked." Then Psalm 69 sounds a similar note of suffering in the face of injustice. The psalmist sings to the Lord, "For your sake I bear insult, and shame covers my face. I have become an outcast to my brothers, a stranger to my mother's children, because zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who blaspheme you fall upon me." These words of Psalm 69 are cited many times in the New Testament, especially in the accounts of the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus. But as his resurrection reveals, suffering is never the last word, and love is always stronger than death. And so the psalmist continues with great confidence, "I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness, and in your great mercy, turn toward me." And in just this way, the Lord Jesus taught his 12 apostles as they prepared for the mission that would bring them all a share in his cross and eventually claim their lives. "Fear no one," said the Savior. "Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." Friends, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard work, and there is no way to follow Christ except by the way of the cross. But no matter what hardship we must endure for the sake of the gospel, we should always persevere with trust in the providence of God. In 3 weeks, we will hear these words of St. Paul from Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. And this is why our present struggles are not comparable to our future glory. In Christ Jesus, we have become children of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And in Christ Jesus, we know why we exist and how to live in keeping with our dignity as the children of God by the grace of adoption. We must therefore take up our cross, reject whatever is contrary to the gospel, and bear witness to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter what the cost may be, the cost to our own desires, and the cost to the plans we make for our lives, both personal and professional. Put simply, the grace of God is free, but it is not cheap. To be a Christian and bear witness to Christ, both in the public square and in our private lives, is to invite ridicule, rejection, and even persecution. Living our faith with integrity may cost us friendships, colleagues, and economic opportunities, and it may even put us at odds with our own families, as we will read in the Gospel next Sunday. But if, like Jeremiah, the psalmist, and the apostles, we trust in the providence of God, then we discover that the sacrifices we are called to make are not random or futile. Because absolutely nothing is beyond the eternal plan of salvation, as the Savior assures us today, even all the hairs of your head are counted. But to trust in providence, we must also be mindful of the many ways in which Christians are tempted to forsake the only way of the Lord Jesus, which is the way of the cross. For example, some false preachers promise great prosperity or long life and good health to those who surrender themselves to the dominion of Jesus Christ. This is often called the gospel of prosperity, but that is not the good news proclaimed by the Word made flesh. Others say that if the gospel is rightly preached, there will always be many miracles among us, especially inexplicable healings. Because, they say, the Lord wants abundant life for his people, and will work wonders among us by the power of the Holy Spirit to confirm his love for us. But while there are still miracles among us, they are rare, and they are not given for the benefit of those who receive them or as a motive for our belief. No, the Savior does not send signs and wonders to lead us to salvation. And his riches are not found in the kingdoms of this world, but only in the eternal kingdom of God. The signs of Christ, his miracles, have gone over into the sacraments, and the kingdom of God is planted among us by the preaching of the Word of God to awaken the supernatural gift of saving faith, the gift which leads to everlasting life through the grace of justification, sanctification, and glorification. Friends, the life of the new creation, the life of grace, is planted and grows in our hearts, not by signs and wonders, but by word and sacrament. Christ himself insists that the only sign that will be given us is the sign of Jonah, meaning his passion, death, and resurrection on the third day. And to those who follow him in the way of the cross, the Messiah promises only opposition. Opposition of precisely the sort visited upon him. So now we struggle to bear faithful witness to the providence of God, and we know that our triumph must wait for the full coming among us of the kingdom of God on the last day. And until then, we count the days and the years and the ages of the world until the return of Christ in glory. From last Sunday until the solemnity of Christ the King in November, We are in the weeks between Pentecost past and Advent ahead. These are the green Sundays of the liturgical year, the ordinary time of spiritual growth in which, by hearing and heeding the Word of God, we can deepen our trust in the providence of God and so become ever more fully converted disciples of Christ Jesus. And God be praised. Such constant conversion, as it continues over a lifetime, deepens our faith, hope, and love, and so strengthens us to bear witness to others by every thought, word, and deed that our redemption from the grave and our only hope of eternal life is from the one alone who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one alone who is both the Son of Man and God the Son, the one alone who is the divine Messiah and the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ,